And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Of the beard. Here and declare your independence from Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, from the BDA beautiful studios of freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, we're getting ready. Today's the last show for a week or so. We might be doing some live shows or podcasting different stuff and whatever from Anarchapoco and Mako. But, I'm there to do some work, meet some people, talk to some people like our good friend here, Sterling Lujan. He's with Bitcoin. He's there. Okay, I want to give your title, Sterling. This is good. He's their communications ambassador. So, all right. So, Sterling Lujan is an activist, crypto connoisseur, and professional speaker. He works with Bitcoin.com as their communications ambassador. He also goes by the moniker Psychologic Anarchist. All right. We can stop right there. You can tell me what the hell that is. What is that?
Yes, sir. So how are you doing, Ernest?
It's been good. A while.
Good deal. Yeah, so the Psychologic Anarchist was and this is something I think we probably need to get into, but it was a name that I created based on a platform and a website I was running, psychologicanarchist.com, and I created the website, the platform, and the Facebook page as a result of the fact that I studied psychology. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. I was working on a degree in mental counseling, mental health counseling, and clinical counseling. But it didn't work out, and I went the direction of cryptocurrencies. But
what, there's not enough crazy people there?
Right. plenty of work right here, right, brother? Yeah. So I decided to try to combine my knowledge of anarchism with my knowledge of psychology and counseling in order to try to help bring more people into the anarchist and libertarian communities. That's how I got that name. But just, you remember, what was it, like 6 months ago, I guess, whenever Facebook shuttered everybody's Facebook accounts, a lot of the anarchists were purged from social media, including Free Thought Project, the Anti-Media, etc. My page was one of them who got purged.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
All right. In the break, the audience is sick of me talking about it. We just turned on our IPFS servers. I'm going to tell you all about it. And that's one of the big motivations for me going down there. What I wanted to talk to you about is I need the IPFS developing, kind of they're doing it, showing I want to, here we've gone pirate and we did it. It's done. Derek turned it on 2 days ago and it's freaking pimp as hell. So we're bringing, James Corbett's going on, Tragedy and Hope. We're trying to, get Luke, get his attention enough to be able to have him, work on getting his data in. And it is, I am so excited about this ability to just ignore the man, because they keep, the noose is getting tighter and tighter around everybody. And they thought they were immune. They thought they were popular enough. They thought that they wouldn't, but they were wrong.
Absolutely.
And I knew they were wrong. So tell me about the constriction in the liberty space on a lot of this stuff and how it's affecting you and everybody else. So you talked about it already, hit you. You're not the only one.
Right. No, you're right. A lot of people have been, who thought they were big enough, who thought they had enough followers. And I think the anti-media had about 3 million people on their Facebook page, and they were shuttered along with the rest of everybody. But and I'll tell you, I think how this has affected us, Ernest, is it's created a situation where we have to figure out how we're going to work together a lot more closely in order to figure out some kind of solution so that we can move forward and try to get out from underneath this problem, right? Just recently, I went to an event in Houston, Texas. We had the a summit that was created by Derek Brose and everyone from the alternative media, not everyone, a lot of people from the alternative media. We all came together and we tried to discuss some solutions for how we can solve these problems and sort of move forward. Now, I came, of course, representing Bitcoin.com and the cryptocurrency wing of this thing, because we're the media that we're producing at Bitcoin.com is also a form of alternative media, right? We've already been censored on social media as well, right? You can't even type the word cryptocurrency in your Facebook page without getting shadow banned, right? You can't. So that's no information there as well.
I'm really excited about sitting down and talking. I'll give you a little teaser in the break, but the main thing is the reason I'm going down there is I won't be speaking. You know, Tim Pachot, he and I are going together. He's going to be speaking on, he's got a lot of good stuff to say on him being able to have all you crypto guys keep your money. That would be good. And so he's going to be, he has a really pimped out AI interviewing robot thing. It's freaking awesome. So I want to do everything I can to get him as many interviews as possible, bring in the guys, you know, to meet him. And he does, a good job. So I'm going to be like his producer. But the big thing is I'm wanting to, meet with a lot of people that in the break, I'll tell you the technology that we're using. And I'm like, I've been worried about solutions. I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You got how many followers? That don't mean nothing. How many subscribers? Don't mean nothing. How many patrons? That don't mean nothing, because they're going to flip the switch and it's gone. Now what? Well, that freaking happened. And I'm going, Neon, I freaking told you so. You're climbing up the ladder on the wrong wall.
Yep.
I stop, and you have the solutions. And I've been watching Roger Ver's videos he does weekly, and it seems like there's on the right wall, there's a lot of development on Bitcoin Cash. Yes. And tell me about some of that.
Yeah, so I think with Bitcoin.com, we are, just with our company, we're producing a lot of different applications on top of Bitcoin Cash. So one of the things that I'm really personally excited about, we've developed the Badger application. And for anybody's interested, you can go use it right now. It's badger.bitcoin.com. So if any of your audience is familiar with Ethereum, if they've used applications that work with Ethereum, they've likely used the MetaMask protocol, which is basically just a web application wallet that interfaces with different websites. And let's just give you an example how this works, so it doesn't sound like fucking archaic language, right? So there's a platform called Minds.com. This ties into the censorship discussion, Ernest, we've talked about.
No, Minds. I had Bill Ottman on last week, man.
There you go. So we're already on board with this. So Minds works with MetaMask, right? So you can boost your post with their Minds token. Strictly a utility token. You're not meant to make money off of it, etc. But with Bitcoin Cash, we've created a similar functionality, a similar API wallet called Badger. And you can drop Bitcoin Cash into it right now and use it. And you can, if you're building a platform, you can interface it with your platform right now and build some of the similar technologies that Ethereum's building. And this is brand new. We just released this on Bitcoin.com. I know that Roger in his last video discussed it quite a bit with Corbin as well.
Well, I mean, skip to the end for grandma. You know, what you're saying is that this technology working on Bitcoin Cash gives you the ability to do some online signed contracts or multi-account approval, blah, 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 blah. So a lot of these things promised by Ethereum, which kind of was, complicated and does a lot, whatever. You're going, all right, we're going to stay with Bitcoin Cash. We're going to use the philosophy, and they're starting to come out with more privacy. This is one thing, and this is where Craig Wright was going, oh, you guys are a bunch of drug dealing, child pornography terrorists if you want to be private. And I'm going, God, man, you guys just want it to be. I tell you what, we're going into break here. I'll share with Mr. Lujan here. It was my argument that when they start screaming about money laundering, they wanted to have crypto that they could state-sponsored, crown tap on the shoulder, push a button, instantly money laundered. They don't have to have to move around big pallets of cash anymore. And you went through the threshold and it's laundered with a button now. Big shipments of pallets of cash. It's like state-sponsored. Hillary Clinton signed off on the thing. A Secretary of State. Boom! It's laundered. Woohoo! And we're done. And I'm going, that's exactly what they're setting up. Because with Crown approval, they take it through the threshold. Threshold! Take us through the threshold! And then once it's done, it's done.
Right.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condensed oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
If you're looking for work or...
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. All right, real quick. Can you go to FreedomsPhoenix.com?
Yeah.
When you get to FreedomsPhoenix.com, you'll see the... I could probably screen.
I'm on it.
Screen share, but you know, be a pain in the ass. All right, go down below the top left logo, Freedom's Phoenix. You'll see Roberts and Roberts widget there, and the live stream. And then right below that, above the Pirates Without Borders, you'll see the IPFS icon.
Yeah, see it.
Okay, click on that. What we have done, and we just turned this on, and we'll format it and get all pretty and everything. But this is what's happened. I'm looking at an IPFS server right over here.
Yeah, this is
what
good.
Derek has done is he has just a couple laptops that he's testing network on and so on, that it loads into the IPFS network computer that then syncs with the other computers that we have all over the world. And we have James Corbett's doing it, Tragedy and Hope, Richard Grove, ourselves. And then Luke said, yeah, but we haven't been talking to it until we get it ready. We'll get him going on it. Now, what happened is, we understand that deplatforming, you can't, and it's never and always, and you think it's there and it's gone. What we have created is servers that sync up with 2 terabyte drives, get everything of every, hell, we're getting up to a terabyte, 15 years of Freedom's Phoenix. Now, what happens is this is the pinned files that serve the network that scales the way IPFS does.
Right.
We're done. This is it. Now, the Content Safe is a group that's going to be down at Anarchapoco, and we've been going back and forth on Zoom and emails and all this kind of stuff. They think curing deplatforming is you send your data to them, and then they replatform it automatically as a script that goes on, like BitChute and DTube and DLive and YouTube and Mines and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, yeah, but then that makes you the central point of failure. And then you're still on these others. So that's the reason I had Jeremy Kaufman from Library, he kind of, got Derek all worked up. So we're working on this also interfacing with Library. Now Mines, Bill, when I was talking to him, I'm going, look, man, if you're still going to have takedown notices and doing your policies different, it doesn't mean any difference. You got the man with a 45 to your head and you got to comply. I go, I don't care. Well, then they're talking about something called DIM, it's kind of an IPFS thing he was saying. So at least this is the goal. Now, Patrick gave, Byrne gave him a bunch of money and kind of part of his plan of how he's going to decentralize the internet. But for me, I'm going, Bill, man, we'll do Mines. We got a count there. We'll do all that. But if I can't promote on Facebook and Twitter and Mines that, hey, oh, by the way, the forever button is right here and it goes over there and they can suck it. Okay.
That's right.
The community needs this. And if we can do it for something as complicated as Freedom's Phoenix, then it's like, Neon, I freaking told you so. You feel me?
Yep. Well played. I like what you got set up here.
602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. I was getting Sterling all caught up on our IPFS. We're going to save the planet thing. So this information, guys that you have in your stable of influence, and we're down at Anarchapoco, I'm thinking of pinning to my back or walking around with a sandwich sign, all pirate IPFS developers talk to me. So help me out, man. Hook me up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'll see who I can chat with when we get down there and we'll work together and figure it out. I'm not an IPFS expert, but I do know that IPFS is one of the best ways right now we can publish content and not have to worry about the censors getting in between us, and I've been struggling with this, and I'm glad, in earnest, I'm glad we it seems like you and I, we have an automatic understanding of what we're going to discuss before we even get into this. I got into the censorship before you even started getting into it and talking about it. But my mindset, I've been really frustrated lately because I'm publishing my content, my personal content, and some of Bitcoin.com's content on my pages on Facebook because I still get the most traction there. But now I've booted up Mines. I've been working on that. I'm still posting on Steemit, although Steemit hasn't done any front-end development, so that's not really there and in fully functioning form. So I haven't felt like there's a way or a path forward, but I really like this IPFS, at least with this particular setup you guys have. It's a way to prevent.
Well, I tell you how it works with Steam. Steemit is not DTube is not really Steemit, but they interface right with each other. So what happened, you get some Steam. We found out you got to have some Steam, make it easy to post and so on. But Donna has two options several options. But when she posts, because we used to did YouTube, and then they started getting, God, like in 10 or so. I said, no, I already see where this is going. I'm not playing that game. Then we went to, Blip TV. And then they just stopped, taking videos. So, okay, we're not doing Blip anymore. Then we're on Vimeo. Vimeo for years. Then they purged my entire account, which I knew was coming. We still had everything. We put it on hard drives. Now it's on IPFS and they can suck it. But the point was, is that I go, here it comes. Because they had one show that we talked to a guy about Zionism. And it was 2 years before they did the banning. They found that one. And here it comes, because it was from the London International Confederation of You're Not Allowedism Department or something, right? And I go, yep, here we go. Well, within a few weeks, we're off Vimeo. By that time, we had gone to DTube. We were down for like a day. So we knew this was coming. What DTube allows us to do is, because it does use IPFS, that's how it stores its stuff. Well, we would post to that, so Donna didn't have to do to our own IPFS server that then would propagate, throughout, and Derek's still working on that code. Just to make it easier for her, not have to do both, she posts it to DTube, and then one of the nodes that it goes out in IPFS is our server sitting there. So when she posts it, boom, we have it in our hard drive. So I'm going, plus we have it, in another format too, but it's IPFS from DTube. It's already there now. Right. We have it all set up. So every video that you do, you use this mechanism, you post to DTube, you also get it on a forever network that's under your control, that you can pin the files so that they never go away. Because DTube, IPFS, it goes to the network, but if somebody's not pinning it, it'll eventually just fall off because nobody's using it. It's just cache files on all these thousands of servers. So, but if you have it pinned so that it's on the network, when anybody requests it, they automatically get it, and it caches on the IPFS server geographically nearest to them. And then it goes, and then it starts to come back, and then it gets popular again, it goes. So it never goes away, and it scales automatically, so it's always fast. And we did that with all files. Like, we have static pages for the front page, or we do our newsletter, or the mid pages, and our category pages, and all that. We go, well, we could just pin them on our own IPFS server, feeds the network, and we got everything forever, and they can suck it.
Hell yeah. Bam. Yeah, I like that.
Done.
That's like a great, great plan, course of action. One of the things that I've started doing as well is, because this is a way that they're not going to be able to completely censor it, but I've started collecting all of my work over time, mainly the written work, and starting to put it into book form so I can have it completely, so I can have it published and physically present as well, and I can continue to put that out if I have to, have it saved, all the material saved on a hard drive. So that's another way to handle like written and physical content. But using the interplanetary file system, that sounds like the way that you're doing is the way to go. And I'm going to have to look deeper into that myself.
Somebody's going to have to come up with something better.
Absolutely.
Well, you know Derek Slopey, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Which is, freaking genius. So it was me going on about this, for last, God, at least 3, 4, 5 years since I'm going, look, man, you guys are going to get nailed.
You've been talking about this a while, yeah.
Yeah, I knew there was neon flashing lights. I've been around long enough. I know how it works. So what they did is Derek goes, hey, man, this IPFS thing, they're talking like, you know, this is kind of, I think it might, you know, the, you need to be paying attention to this. So we did. And then he just kind of, so I go, all right, well, let's get ready for it. So over 2 years ago, we started, you know, consolidating all the, we have like articles and opinions. Everything is just a lot of files. It's a database. You got the headline, right, the graphic, you know. I said, it's consolidate them all, the feed from one, make it easy for us to do this kind of thing. So we've been spending years on this. So it's been mostly the back end stuff. We've been sitting here being quiet and keeping, you know, down on the low so we didn't get purged. So now I have all my, you know, Twitters and Facebooks and everything and even YouTubes. With all my Ron Paul videos and all this other crap during the Level Show, I didn't get purged. So then I go, all right, boom! We're here to tell you we're over there, but we had to have an over there. Without an over there, it didn't matter. And if my over there was Mines that they're going to come in and put a gun to, you know, Bill's head and said, take him down, what's the difference, you know? So I go, I need it to where they can't take you down. It's not possible. If they can, they will. They sure as hell want to. So this is what you can help me with down at Anarchapoco. I'm glad I got to share this with you because, man, we need to spread this pirate thing. We're like, ooh, absolutely, we gone pirate.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. And I have a cryptocurrency panel as well that I just realized that I'm going to be on, and I think I'm going to be on it. It was originally, I think, Colin, but he's not any longer going to be at Anarchapoco.
What? Why?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I think it might have to do with, I think it might happen to do with the recent incidents, but don't quote me on that because I don't want to be, you know.
You know, I just, we did a podcast a couple of weeks ago with Jim, his dad, you know, head of, you know, Vector Space Systems. And he was, it was a Saturday. He was driving up and, you know, we both had time then. So we just did it. And he was going down. You know, and I didn't know he was speaking, you know, but I thought he was going down to, you know, hang with his son, watch him. Yeah. No, he didn't know he's speaking. So if we lose both of them, that'd suck, you know?
Yeah, it would, man. I like Colin a whole lot. That would be a real shame. But
now he's local here, so I get to hang. I got a time. I need to get an update on my Linux. I mean, my I got a Linux computer and Nexus. They don't have the update of, you know, got Windows or iOS. I go, no, hell no. I'm not getting all geeky on that. I'm going to come down to your office, East Valley, and you're freaking going to do it for me because, damn it, you know, get that crap going. So I'm going to go see their headquarters and everything, and he comes in every now and then. So, you know, Colin has really been really patient with me and helping me understand a lot of the foundational basics of Bitcoin. So I understand why he would say Nexus is better. I go, yeah, if I knew what Bitcoin was, I might be able to agree with you. So that has been, I got a lot of good lessons from you guys, but it took years. You know, right. Nobody's telling you, man, it's taken years. And, you know, when we come back, I want to talk about Bitcoin Cash more and what the future of that is. And are we even concerned about its price? I mean, I don't even look. I don't care, you know?
Yeah, that'll be an important discussion. Now, as we need to talk about forking and the future of that as well.
More forking! All right, more forking with Luhan, just a little bit.
Is spreading. I'll be right back, Ernest. All right.
Okay. What are we going to get on with Bitcoin, like crypto tipping and Bitbacker and, you know, all this kind of stuff I'm interested in?
Yeah, we can. Did we want to discuss the current state of affairs with Bitcoin Cash? I don't think you and I have spoke since the most recent fork and all the Craig Wright shenanigans. I don't know if you want to speak on that or not.
I don't really care other than, you know, it's just a mess of I don't care. And what happened was his bitch and whine and moan and whatever, and at the end of it, he still wound up with a gazillion dollars of I got my new coin. I mean, you know, so he won. He got what he wanted. I mean, and he sold it for, I don't know, traded it into Bitcoin Cash. Now he's got a bunch of money. I mean, I don't see where the downside to him was other than just being just pain in the ass. So it's just a distraction, and I just don't know that much because I don't care. I mean, seriously.
But, right. Yeah. Well, there's nothing. You're right. There's nothing really to know other than that. The fork. You
all
know,
right. We'll talk about it. We're coming back. Here we go.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's take a looky see, see what's up. Well, I'll tell you, one of the places we check all the time, the girls especially, man, they're always, every day, they're over at Bitcoin.com putting up stuff that I think of interest. And it's the ecosystem is it really based on the price? I'm just, Sterling Lujan is the, you know, their ambassador. And I want to know if, you know, the price is of much importance to you, or is it the network? I mean, what are we looking right at here?
Yeah, great question. So the price isn't as important to me as the usability and the utility of a particular cryptocurrency. I'm kind of like Roger in the sense that I like the price. If, you know, when it's going up, of course, we're happy. When it's going down, of course, we're upset. But at the end of the day, what it's ultimately about is mass adoption. It's about getting the technology into as many people's hands as possible. And that's been our whole goal at Bitcoin.com since day one, even when the price was up. So yes, the network effect, getting cryptocurrency in the hands of as many people as possible, has been our goal from the very beginning. That's one of the reasons we could talk more about this early on. But when we forked with the most recent fork, actually, I say Craig Wright fork, when the fork occurred, we decided to make sure the opcodes were enabled so that it would be easier for developers to build new tools on top of Bitcoin Cash. And here's the reason why, because when you have the ability to build new applications and protocols on top of, around Bitcoin Cash, that increases the valuation. And by valuation, I don't mean the long-term price. That's definitely going to work into that. But the valuation is really how easy to use it is and what type of use cases can we have it for. But ultimately, at the end of the day, its functionality is cryptocurrency is of paramount importance.
You know, this is one thing, an argument that, of course, I'd make, and we had a few weeks ago, Tone Vase was here for a week, you know, while Davi Barker and I were working on stuff, and he was doing a thing here, and he's always welcome to come stay. You know, he's stayed here probably a few times over the years. And we became friends at a New York Bitcoin conference, and I've been through his development of, and you want to talk about Bitcoin maximalist, man. I mean, holy crap. And it's just so infuriating to me. Yeah. I'm going, Tone, you're so full of crap. Your ears stink, man. It's like you're going, nope, Bitcoin, it's Bitcoin. Got to be Bitcoin. Everything else is scam coins. I go, he would have more value if, you know, for the real scam stuff, if he would have some criteria other than it not being right. Bitcoin. But so we go at it back and forth. And it's just, you know, talking to a brick wall, but the idea that Bitcoin has its value as a store of value, I'm going, that, I, you know, if it's not usable and I can't get my money when I need it, you know, it's like having my gold somewhere and a third party, you can't have it. You know, right. It's like I got gold money account that we go to. There's no customer service. Hey, man, I gave you $800. Where's my little grams of gold? We'll put that in the bin file box of kind of what? This is what happens when you got third party, you know, taking care of stuff. But the value to me in my Bitcoin Cash wallet is the fact that, you know, it's secure. You know, paper wallets, they're there and I can use it. Yeah. When Bitcoin and this next wave of crypto demand happens, which it be a coming,
it will. Yeah.
When it does, and I don't get to have access, or I got to pay $60 a transaction again for Bitcoin,
yeah,
they're done. This is it.
It's game over.
You're not going to get a second try, and they won't even acknowledge that.
Yeah, you're right. No, yeah, and you get me started on this soapbox as well. They talk about, you know, Bitcoin being digital gold. You know, we hear the metaphor a lot, digital gold, but here's the thing, real gold has value in the real world because it has other use cases, right? It's useful in industry, for the manufacture of jewelry, for use in watchmaking, all kind, which is part of jewelry.
To me, it's useful when I can freaking use it. I want it when I want it. It's my money. It's like I got Bank of America telling me it's your money, but you can't have it now. I don't need Bitcoin telling me that, you know?
Right. And they don't. There's no other strong use case for Bitcoin if it is only being viewed as a speculative asset. It has to have some other type of use cases that make it usable for the population. Right now, Bitcoin is most of the use cases are still in the experimental phases right now, even still with the Lightning Network. It hasn't come to complete fruition, but there's always a promise of 6 months later, something's going to be built on top of Bitcoin that's going to make it more valuable. But at the end of the day, they want to just completely commodify it, and they think they can pamper it like this so that it will be worth millions of dollars. But that's not really how it works. It has to be usable for the people to even start thinking about having some type of decent valuation in the future. So it's a really frustrating situation to watch them, you know, clumsily try to deal with this problem.
It's not frustrating to me because I don't care. You know, this is, you know, everybody's going, oh, you're arguing. Why are you even arguing with them?
Right. It's true.
Who gives a crap? I just keep doing what you're. That's why I enjoy the way Roger has chosen to take this on. It's just, look, we're just doing this and whatever. Peace out. You know, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
and you called it Bcash. You must be therefore shot and so on. You know, who cares? Let them do whatever they're going to do. You just keep doing what you're doing. Plus the fact that you got Bitcoin.com doesn't hurt either. You know, they don't like that. But the development is going towards privacy, which I think was one of the big reasons why those got involved and supported, and we got to attack and kill and whatever. I think that had a lot to do with it. But the ability to be private, tell me how that's being developed. What's the offer?
Well, I mean, from my understanding right now, it's to completely develop out the privacy aspect of the protocol is very, very challenging because, you know, as you know, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin, the features of privacy are not automatically involved. So I know there are a couple people working on a different aspects of privacy, but the most recent thing that I've heard about, Ernest, and this is probably what you're talking about, is not a direct privacy built into the protocol, but people are developing cash mixers,
yep.
You know, one-click cash mixers where you basically send your Bitcoin off to this mixer, automatically mixes up the address so that the original address can't be traced back. So that's mainly what's happening with Bitcoin Cash. I forget the name of the actual protocol that we're working on right now. You probably remember it, but that's been the primary thing. But this is not something that's intrinsic to Bitcoin Cash right now.
Because it's so different. Go blame those guys for building it.
Yeah.
It's not our fault. You know, freedom. There's an app for that. You know, the define that as a flaw and not a feature just kind of belies who you're talking to. They'll go, oh, you mean yeah, they could be private? And I'm going, yeah. Well, they shouldn't be allowed. By whom? Yeah. Statist? It's killing me. I'm glad to see. I heard that Roger, at least Bitcoin.com, was being supportive of Alt Expo. You know, Derek is going to Alt Expo like today. You know, he's there in New Hampshire at Liberty Forum, and then we're going down to Anarchapoco. And
right.
Anarchapoco, I was talking to Smart Cash guy.
Is what's his name? Enrique? No.
God, man, I hate that.
There's a few of them. I forget.
Yeah. Anyway. Crap, his name slipped my mind. But the they're helping with the Anarchapoco. Do you know if that's going to keep going on Sunday the 17th? Or it'll have a separate thing.
Yeah, as far as I know, they're still working on it, and it's still going to go off, even with the recent turn of events. That's the tragedy, of course.
Yeah, what we're talking about is the woman, Allie, that was putting that on. I just was in an email exchange with her for like hours before her husband, six guys came in with guns and killed him.
Shot him.
And three shots to a friend that was there. And she's just, oh, what do you, you know? And they were a nice couple. I remember them. You know,
yeah.
They went down just to get away from the man. And, you know, she blew glass to make, you know, pipes and stuff and smoke and whatever. And I think he was concentrating in the dabs. And I think that might be where you get in trouble. You know, the man, you know, you work for the for them, the cartel, or you don't work, that kind of deal.
So 100%.
And Jeff, we just put up today, Jeff Berwick had a big interview about it. I haven't read it yet, but, and it's just, you know, this is going to be in a different area that's isolated. They took out the whole resort, so I'm not super worried, but, stuff happens, you know.
Yeah, we should talk about that article today. The one you're talking about is the one that Daily Beast wrote, which was just a big smear campaign against Daniel.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
The free.
Yeah, we got. I'm going to be bringing down a bunch of the new edition of the book. You know, the pirate book, man. It's pimp. You know, I am cool. So happy with how this is developing. And then I found a guy. I wrote a book out of the UK called Be More Pirate. And it was a business book. It was kind of like for young entrepreneurs. He was making the point that the pirates were today's millennials. And he's going, look, they broke the rules. They went outside. They weren't pirate because they were, you know, I don't know how you can, you know, rob from the Steelers kind of thing. You know, so it was all the stuff that Davi and I have been saying. You know, we're going, yep. So we're trying to get him on. But that, you know, I think he's a little bit more social justice-y kind of, we'll see what happens. But it was interesting. I got pulled up for the audience. The John Galton wanted Libertarian Paradise and Anarchapoco. He got Bullets instead. Saying that I haven't read the piece yet, but it's a fairly lengthy piece, and they used this opportunity to poo-poo Jeff or something?
Yeah, a good portion of the article was them criticizing Jeff, and you know, they were basically criticizing how he allegedly made Acapulco out to be some freedom paradise, and instead this is what happens to John Galt. They got shot up, and it's just violent chaos, of course, all the typical shenanigans and nonsense that mainstream media tries to pull. But yeah, it was pretty awful on the whole. A lot of nonsense.
And they went on about Galt's Gulch and so on. Yeah. I had a lot of criticisms of that, too.
Yeah, they got into the passport things and some other issues too that didn't really have to do necessarily with the incident at hand.
Yeah, no, they just wanted to paper the file, you know.
Yeah,
which is fine. I don't care. You know, people need to be fully informed going in, whatever. But the let's see, anarchist. The last paragraph. Anarchapulco, meanwhile, is still proceeding as scheduled. After the tragedy, the conference is more important than ever, Berwick said. Anarchists understand that the government's prohibition of plants and substances cause these problems, and if anything, it just makes events like Anarchapulco even more important in order to change the world and get rid of the violence and chaos caused by government, Berwick said. So, like, all right. Yeah, just read the first and last paragraph and you're done. But the, you know, which is often the case. I'm just, you know, we had Jeff on talking about this year's Anarchapulco a few weeks ago. And we didn't talk about Anarchapulco. I found out that from Smart Cash. God, man, his name's right on the tip of my tongue. All right, here, I got to get the music. We'll be right back.
Live service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's coming, but we got to get prepared. You can't sit there on your hands and wondering what happened. You know, it just happened. I don't know what happened. You know, and we've been getting prepared, and that's one thing. Bitcoin.com. I've been really glad to see the philosophy being espoused by, you know, Roger and friends and you guys, and you understand the issue, and that's why I've been so supportive of what's the end goal. Like when I have Bill Ottman on, you know, and Jeremy Kaufman from Library and Minds. And I said, you know, look, man, You know, what's the end goal? I mean, I understand you got investors and they want you not go to jail and stuff, you know, and you have the guys in black come explain it to you. But I mean, you know, what's the end goal? I mean, how you build this up to what? You know, be another link in the chain to the crown? I mean, I'm not interested in that. You know, I don't have any, you know, that's not on my list. Well, it seems to me like Eric Voorhees, I've always had a soft spot for him too, because he's, you know, they keep chasing him, man. He's always, he goes, all right, you want to do this KYC thing? Well, we're going to post all the times that you do it and gamble. And then I'm sure he's funding or being part of something they don't know about. And the fifth time they don't know about it, whatever it is. Okay. Yep. So, yeah, he knows better than talk to me, kind of tell everybody. But, you know, the thing, so we'll go ahead and hopefully we can, you know, hang with Eric here directly and get him on, because I just he's in the right mindset, as is Roger. Roger sees this for what it really is. Tell me about that. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it's really built in Roger's philosophy, and the reason I got on board with Bitcoin.com, because, you know, we all share the same idea, and that idea is to eventually to create as much freedom in the world as possible, get out from under the nation state and governments. And that's really, it's intrinsic to our company's mission. We've built it in so that everybody who starts working for Bitcoin.com knows that our goal is to generate more economic freedom for as many people in the world. So everything we're trying to build with Bitcoin Cash is, one, to incur mass adoption. And that the purpose of that mass adoption is so people can start handling their own finances rather than trusting other people to control those
funds.
Okay,
let's talk about mass adoption. Are you looking for some country to give you a sanction, or how much money I made on is on this here form that I filled out and they know, and on my bank account and I can't have it stuff? I mean, what are you looking at?
Yeah. No, great question. We're not looking for any kind of government approval, you know, like another fiat currency with Bitcoin Cash. We're just trying to put it in people's hands and make it easy, you know, like you always talk about, for grandmother to use Bitcoin Cash, to leverage it, make sure the UI and the UX is usable. And yes, it's all for
UI, UX. See, you already lost grandma. User interface. The GUI, graphic unit. This is where Paul Poy came in from Airbits. We were so supportive because he was one of the first guys that understood. He goes, I don't know what the hell these guys are talking about. If you can't use it, it's not going to get adopted. So he made it. I'm going, thank God somebody gets it, you know? True. So I'm going, so man, don't be using freaking initials. It's, are you military? Know,
it's true. When you get into the space, you start using the jargon and you kind of forget about grandmother. But yeah, you're right. So the user experience and user interface is all super important to us at Bitcoin.com. And all that means is we want people to be able to use it without having to worry about the challenge of hitting a button, of using the addresses. And the ease of use is always a top priority. And it's for people to start using it immediately without having permission of this, of the crown, of the nation state. And that's been the whole purpose from day one. And I talk about this a lot in my talks, you know, Ernest. Cypherpunks, the original anarchists who got involved with imagining.
Paul Rosenberg. We have him on a regular basis. He was part of the crypto hippie of this crowd. He's in, man.
Yeah, and one of the main crypto anarchists, you know, Timothy May recently died, unfortunately. But he wrote the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto, and the idea behind his manifesto was that we're creating these technologies. And it's not just cryptocurrencies, we're talking about remailers, Phil Zimmerman's pretty good privacy. All of these protocols is for the purpose of giving more sovereignty back to the individual. The more sovereignty the individual has, the more that the nation state becomes useless and that they can't affect the individual directly. So everything that we do at Bitcoin.com, we try to make sure it really resonates with this original cypherpunk goal of creating more freedom in the world. And we've also focused a lot on helping people in some of the most troubled and treacherous parts of the world, where people literally have nothing. They don't have access to the banking system, which is great. So we're trying to provide them with the tools to have access to transferring money and doing remittances without having to worry about the system. And a good example is, you know, in Venezuela, their whole system is completely broken because the government has hyperinflated away their fiat dollar, the bolivar. So all that's good for is kindling by the night fire for the family. So Bitcoin Cash and cryptocurrencies have become an important part of that economy.
Well, tell me about their petrodollar thing. Yeah. What's going on there?
Yeah, so their government has intended to create, I'm not really sure the process right now, but the petrodollar is a cryptocurrency token that is supposed to be a one-to-one valuation with oil. And what they use the government wanted to create that for is actually to get out from under sanctions that the United States government has issued to to that particular area.
Yeah, and then
area.
Trump says you're not allowed to have any. And I go, what? Screw you, man. I'll go get one just for the hell of it.
Right, right. Now, of course, the thing, I like their idea there, getting out from under the U.S. sanctions. And I think a lot of other countries have thought about trying to get out from under the, you know, the hegemony of the United States fiat dollar. You know, Russia talked about creating a crypto ruble and using cryptocurrencies to undermine. And this, we will see more of this kind of stuff happen, but I don't think that's absolutely the most exciting thing that can happen, is just have another government try to create a cryptocurrency to escape the another government. The whole idea here is to have a cryptocurrency so that the individual can use it and leverage it. But I think that's a transition process.
No, there's going to be Goldman Sachs.gov coin here in America. I guarantee it, and they're going to call it Bitcoin Plus or some crap. You know, they need crypto. They have to have it to do what they want to do. Yeah. They are tired. When you start talking trillions of dollars and you only got $100 bills, how do you do that unless it's through a bank with a wire thing? They kind of, you know, and then, you know, they got their little clandestine whatever the hell, and they only got so many C-140s. So I'm just, they have to have some kind of crypto money laundering thing for those that want to use it. I guarantee
that's right.
It.
Here's the thing with governments, though. Every time that they try to talk about creating a cryptocurrency of some kind, it's not going to be a cryptocurrency in the way that you and I understand it, Ernest, right? They're going to want to be able to control
Ripple.
Right? They're going to want to be able to print as much of it as they want. They're going to be able to retract it. They're going to want to be able to seize people's accounts, i.e. Ripple, etc. So
Tether.
It will never be an actual cryptocurrency that a government leverages. It'll be just a database token that uses the term blockchain as a buzzword without any kind of substance to it.
You know, this is one thing. I know that you're going to have a lot of your supporters listen to this show, and I want to make sure I get this in. Just a month or two ago, it was reported that half the planet is now on the internet. You know, they have access to, you know, or broadband or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going, the next half of the planet will come on or have access to the internet with their Jeff Bezos given to them phone so it goes to Amazon. You know, they're going to, you say, well, how? They're not going to be able to afford. They're going to give it to them. Are you kidding me? So they're going to have access to internet cafe, whatever. Everybody, everywhere, with ubiquitous satellite based of whatever the heck, are going to have access, and they're going to have to make a decision. Do I want an anal probe and a retina scan to get my, you know, bank account that's tied to the man that's going to get my cut of whatever the hell, or do I just open up a Bitcoin.com account and I'm done? And I'm going, this next half of the planet that comes online is going to need the fleshed out services and so on that Bitcoin Cash and the like have available. And as Bitcoin Cash gets more and more of the features of some of these other privacy coins or other tokenizations or you start doing that with the philosophy that Roger and Friends has behind this. Yeah. That's why it's Bitcoin Cash to the moon up there. Yeah, you know, you can't see the whole thing. But this is why I see the future is so bright, but those don't dig it, man. What do you think they're going to be their retaliation? How are they going to What can they do?
Well, one of the things that that a lot of these governments will do, and it almost looks like what happened, and you and I have discussed this before, but what happened to Bitcoin, this idea that these cryptocurrencies can be shattered internally through a... We'll talk about this.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's the end of the show.
So, gotcha. So what happens, these governments or any kind of... of naysayer or somebody who dislikes these cryptocurrencies, they can come in and they can fracture the communities behind them. If they can't attack a cryptocurrency directly by destroying or undermining the protocol, what they do is they attack the people involved. They get involved to a deep degree. They co-opt the cryptocurrency and they turn it into something that it's not. So there are some theories, and I don't want to speculate too much on it, that this is what happened to Bitcoin. And so if you want to undermine a cryptocurrency, what's the best way to do it? Create enough infighting and to create a situation where a cryptocurrency goes another direction.
Which is why you need to ignore it.
That's
you know,
right.
Have the philosophy, head down, plow, and we're done. And here it is, like I did. IPF, there it is, done. Next. You know,
right.
Is that legal? Yeah. Don't know, didn't check. You know?
That's exactly right. You ignore it and you continue to move forward. And that's what we're doing at Bitcoin. We're just relentlessly pursuing this idea of making the easiest to use cryptocurrency possible and allowing developers in a truly open source fashion to build whatever they want on top of it. We have to just ignore all the chatter from the authoritarian assholes on the sides and just keep pushing forward.
Yeah, I'm, you know, the fact that it even get into, see, I like the idea, you know, when Roger goes to things, you know, have some troll, they'll wear a shirt, go there and be a butthead about it. And he just pulls them up, all right, well, say your piece, man. Mike, video's on, go. And it's obvious that they don't really know what they're talking about. You know, that they don't. I mean, I'm not comfortable in embarrassing the crap out of them. But, you know, we had last night there was we had a guy come on and talk about, it's called Dumas Mining or something here in the Valley. And it's all, yes, we getting these Siacoin ASICs that they're getting people to get into, and you pay us, you buy them for $3,000, we get them at bulk rate, you pay us $1,400 a year, and we keep it going, we're on the shelf in there, you know, and we're going to make you money. And I'm like, all right, had him come on, he wasn't able to answer, but he was just a sales guy, he wasn't really technical, and so I'm going, man, smells like I need tone in here, but, you know, but I, you know, peace, what do I want to do, you know, say they can't do it, I don't care, you know, whatever, but there's a lot of this stuff going on out there, and I'm just, where do you go? And to me, it has always been the philosophy behind it and the people that are supporting this, because I'm not the tech guy. I have no idea what the, you know, what's your goal? And then you have some guys like Derek, you know, help me. Yeah, no, they kind of do got it going on. This is what they say is doing, or these guys are BS, or I don't think they're ready with that, or something like that. So that's kind of my navigation. And I remember going on Bittrex with the audience years ago, and I said, look, here's $1,000 in Bitcoin, and I'm going to select this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. Why? Because they're freedom-oriented, privacy, immutable, you know, whatever the hell it was that they were promising me. And based on a philosophy, well, others, they start dropping off, you know, and these, they go down, they go up, but I don't care. That's why I get my Bitcoin, first thing I do is convert it to Bitcoin Cash. Why? The philosophy behind
it. That's right.
Now, I may take some Bitcoin Cash and buy some other crap, but I'm just going, you know, I'm based on what? The philosophy behind it. And I'm wondering, you know, Roger's main goals right now, of course, wide adoption through it being effective use of currency. But the biggest criticism that I get from like Tone, wow, they're centralizing it. Centralizers, you centralize of centralizing. I'm going, how are they centralized? What's the response? What criticism are they bringing up? What are they talking about?
Yeah, so usually whenever Tone and these other folks say that Bitcoin Cash is centralized, what they're referring to is the mining operations. They're saying that the mining is heavily centralized and that individuals can't run their own full nodes on the Bitcoin Cash network. And that part of it's true. People, it's difficult, if not impossible, to run a full node on Bitcoin Cash, but what does a full node do? Absolutely nothing. It just allows somebody to look at the network and to participate loosely in it, but they're still not performing the work of actually mining. So here's the deal, Ernest. These arguments that Bitcoin Cash is centralized, mining centralized, is really overstated, right? Because the concern there is that the people mining it are going to create a double spending attack or a 51% attack. In other words, they're going to undermine the network, steal money from people, and damage it overall.
Well, hell, wasn't that what Craig was trying to do?
That's right. So, but what happens is if the people really aren't incentivized to attack the network fully, if they're the ones mining it, you're effectively shooting yourself in the foot. No, shooting yourself in the face, because if you damage that network to a high degree, you've lost more money than you've effectively been able
Craig to. Craig Wright didn't care.
So, yeah, no, he didn't. But, and he may pay the price in the long term. We'll see how it works out. But anyway, what matters is even if they were able to attack it in the situation with Craig Wright, this didn't destroy Bitcoin Cash. It didn't hurt the overall trajectory of where we're headed with the mission that we just got through talking about. It's still perfectly fine. So even if it is centralized, people can still choose to go different directions, to fork off, split off, and to choose their own path without having to use violence. So it's quasi-centralized. But there's another point to this I want to make. It's only centralized in terms of mining right now as a lack of end-user adoption. The more people who start to adopt these cryptocurrencies, the more likely new mining operations and new methods for mining are going to crop up as we move into the future, right? There's so many places, and this is a political thing as well, where you can't even mine crypto. It's like in China, they actually banned mining. Other places have been really sketchy about cryptocurrency mining, and people are afraid to do it. But the more end-user adoption we have, the more people are going to crop up to mine, and the more decentralized the mining networks are going to be. And Tone talks about this idea that Bitcoin Cash is centralized in terms of mining. Well, hell, so is Bitcoin. Bitcoin also has a high degree of the same miners, but they're thinking we're going to use SegWit and we're going to use the Lightning Network to help mitigate the centralization when Lightning Network has its own potential problems with mining.
Yeah, no, I'm if so, it's yeah. if they are going to go off chain settlement and you got to pre-fund, you know what, Tone, when he was here, he was interviewed by the Liberty Advisor, Tim Pachote, that's going down to Acapulco and speaking at TDV, the Dollar Vigilante thing. And he was interviewing a guy, and he had just found out that you had to have your own node to be able to do a Lightning Network transaction. You know, you had to have your own funded. You had to have, you know, and I'm
going, fund your own channel.
So I'm going, this is, seriously. And they aren't required to settle on chain. So this is all off chain. You might as well just call it, they're just fiat. I mean, you know, it's just somebody, it's a bank and it's going to be KYC'd. And I'm going, this is down the wrong path of philosophy. I don't even care if it works. That's not even the point.
It's going backwards.
Now working is bad.
Hey,
You know, Sterling, I got the next two segments open before I got guests at the bottom of the hour. You want to go another two segments?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do that. You know, it's coming up here in a minute. But, we'll just I think we'll just leave this one going to keep it one, and then we'll do the last hour. We'll do the video. We'll do the switch. We'll just make this, you know, an hour and a half.
So. I have plenty of time.
So. Well, this is I'm so concerned about the philosophy changing. That was what was promised me with Bitcoin from the beginning, and what Roger was touting from the beginning, and Eric and a bunch of other guys. And I was in that crowd. I'm like, hey, man, you know, as long as it's, you know, it's got all these promises except anonymity. They kind of BS'd me on that one. Well, it's pseudo-anonymous, which means not, okay? So I go, now I'm looking at a lot of these others that, like Horizon has got my attention, but they're going more for the privacy stuff as opposed to the crypto. And they'll have a crypto and so on. But it was from coming on the show, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell you got. You got pirate communications now? Y'all lead with that, you know? So there's a lot of features coming out, but you still have to have the immutable, there forever, communication, detailed, Twitter based on whatever, IPFS, as if that's going to be the end all be all, I don't know. I don't care. You know, my thing is that is demonstrating that it can be done and what was missing from the space. All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Kind of informed a little bit. We know what's up. You know, Sterling Lujan is, he's going to stick with us for another couple of segments. Mike Wasden from attorneysforfreedom.com is coming on the bottom of the hour to tell us about the Freedom Summit that is today and tomorrow. And I'll be emceeing that and a lot of great guests, and we'll go over that here in the next half hour. Sterling Lujan, your compensation for this is what? You're paid by Bitcoin.com, go out being bad, go out and be somebody, or you're just doing it as a volunteer and you got a day job? I mean, you know, tell me how this works.
Yeah, so I am. I'm on Bitcoin.com's payroll, but I have a couple of different jobs. So I'm also the opinion editor for Bitcoin.com. So I gatekeep the articles that are written for our opinion section on Bitcoin.com. So what comes in and is published as an op-ed or an opinion article is because I've given it approval and sanctioned it to come
okay,
on
I
site.
Want you to approve my article on IPFS.
Hey, send it in to me, and we'll look at it.
Boom. Done. Right. Here it comes. Well, I'll probably be a week.
I want to be clear on this, too. A lot of people are like, well, you work for Bitcoin.com. One of your jobs is the opinion editor. So does that mean you're going to be censoring people's articles as they come in? So we are.
Hell yeah. Right.
If the article is written like a first grader wrote it and it's shit, yeah, I'm going to censor it. But that's not really censorship. That's just keeping shit off of our platform. That doesn't make any sense. But if people were to write, say, a good article from a Bitcoin Core or Bitcoin Maximalist perspective, and it made good points and it wasn't just being ugly, I would probably publish that. But so,
Tone, here you go, man. Write it. Come on, Tone. This is your chance. He'll put it up there if you can freaking put two sentences together that doesn't that doesn't just say because.
Right. Yeah, so and the other thing, of course, I do, I am the communications ambassador for Bitcoin.com, but I there's nothing that I'm supposed to say, right? I don't have a script that Bitcoin.com has written me, and I'm supposed to say this or that or that, whatever.
Well, because they selected you because they don't have to worry about you.
Yeah, right, because I'm on board with the ideas, and ultimately it's about freedom. Most of the times in my talks, anyway, I'm talking about the cypherpunk movement. That's sort of what I focus on, and the history of where we come from. Because it's good for people to remember that. And I, you know, going to these conferences all the time, Ernest, and talking about these ideas, I've noticed that more and more people who don't get it have come into this ecosystem, right? Because it's gotten more popular. People are wanting to make a buck off of cryptocurrency. So they have no fucking clue about cypherpunkism, about crypto anarchism, about the purpose of cryptography. And that's lost on them. So I get up and I talk about these ideas. It's like people are just dumbstruck.
You know, this is the one thing that I want to, you know, my motivation behind a lot of this. And you know, Roger's been at different conferences where I, you know, speak or we're on a, you know, in a room talking about whatever. So he knows my spiel. But my thing is that one of the things that I insisted upon was microtransactions, because this next half of the planet that comes on and they make a, you know, $1 a week or whatever, they could, with wallet voting, they could support, yeah, I want to go to Mars. Here, I'll give my nickel, you know, can I give a nickel to something in the water system of my village of whatever the hell, you know, or I can, you know, do a 24/7 webcam on my Amazon, you know, jungle village, you know, and get paid crypto for leaving it on or something. I mean, you know, anything. But if they have a transaction that's gazillion times more than what they can afford to send, it's not useful to them.
That's right. Which is exactly, of course, what happened to Bitcoin. But anyway.
Exactly. And they didn't even see it. You know, like Watch My Bit was one of my favorite concepts, to be able to have content providers and then you could branch it out the payment and even the drummer gets paid. So I'm just like, this is awesome. And then that went away and they didn't care. You know, you go, well, you know, that's little bitty peoples and we don't give a crap. I'm going, then what the, it's not a currency then. What the hell are you talking? You're not even on the radar now. You and Blockstream go suck it, man. You know, pace. Henry DeCastri's, you know, head of giving millions of dollars to and giving a green light for everybody else to start investing in the space because Henry DeCastri's, which was head of chairman of the Bilderberger of 17. I'm like, boom, that's all I need to know. We're done. Okay, so you go to Bitcoin and many of the others, but it's starting to, ones that are surviving not based on price or, you know, they a big fanfare or they got some celebrity or some BS like that. They're surviving because of the mission, because of the use case, because of why they did it. And that microtransaction thing is so important, because if it's not there, it doesn't work as a currency for me. And for what I want, just people, the wallet vote. I have walletvoting.com. I mean, you know, I've been for freaking 15 years waiting on this. Well, this is how it's going to be done. The next group of mass adoption of everybody from everywhere. And I tell you where the proof is. Kenya had 40% of their GDP was in cell phone minutes. Freaking cell phone minutes. How many eggs for a minute? How many minutes for an egg? You know, do you remember that?
Yes. Yep.
If that doesn't show you what's up. So here we go. And if it's not supporting that, now the privacy thing is important to me. If that's not a goal and you're kind of, you know, then you got problems, but you can do other stuff in paper wallets or online. There's going to be other solutions. But my point is that don't lie to me, you know, and then it's that it's there forever. This has been the problem. The investment that we put in the sites like Freedom's Phoenix, Bitcoin.com, Tragedy and Hope, The Corbett Report, We Are Change, and you build up this audience. And I knew to get out when I first saw it coming because I knew it was only going to get worse. But you have all this investment on, you know, like Dix over on, was a Press for Truth. You know, you have all this investment on a Facebook page and Twitter, and boom, and it's gone.
Yeah.
What the hell? They're not your friends. They're Zuckerbergs. So yeah. I need to have to where now I'm feeling freed, and we'll cosmetic it up and get our IPF account or whatever. But we're like right there now to where after Anarchapoco, we're flipping all our social media and all of them on and directing him to where I know it's never going away.
That's right.
That's an investment that I can get behind. If I'm investing in building somebody else's platform and then they flip a switch, what the hell is that for? That's why I go on with all these guys about my Catapult channel.
Right, right.
You remember that?
Catapult. You'll have to enlighten me. I think
I go to Bill, I go to Jeremy, all these guys, they tell me how great and wonderful their policy is. And so I go, okay, what about my Catapult channel? Because you know all the coders got a little cat on their
hat. The cat, that's right. I remember you mentioned
Catapults in the little baby kittens in the swirl cactuses. Are you going to be able to take down my channel?
Example you used, right? If you can send the baby cat flying through it with
and
a
you can't take it down, we got freedom.
Yep, good point.
Of course, I wouldn't do it, but I mean, you know.
Ernest, I wanted to comment on your thing about the privacy issue, too. You know, everyone talking about cryptocurrency being pseudonymous early on, and, you know, a lot of us feeling like we got duped on how anonymous cryptocurrency actually is. Well, you know, it would actually be more anonymous, even in the current situation, if it wasn't for all the centralized exchanges, right? The reason that people are able to get traced back is because they eventually sign up to an exchange and they put all of their identifying information because the exchange is forced by Big Brother to provide all of their information. And then people basically use that. And then if they transfer cryptocurrency around, then the man has them, right? They can trace all their transactions.
Yeah, they send you a 1099 and say you owe this much. And then the guy goes to India. Yeah. You know, who's this guy? All of a sudden, he might have faked his death, you know? But
Cotton, yeah.
Yeah, well, tell the story about that.
Sure. So it was a Canadian exchange. The guy's name was Cotton, and this is the weirdest story. And it's really, it reeks of fraud to me, but we'll see how it goes. So he had private keys.
Oh, see, and the music starts, and you got everybody's on the edge of their seat going to get this story. you got to get this story because this is going to be good.
Okay.
All right, when we come back, he'll tell the story, or he'll tell it in its length here in the break, and then we'll summarize it when we come back. Make sure you know this. This is a perfect example of why you need crypto that works the way it's promised and not this exchange thing, certainly not with the permission of the crown. And it was like what Shapeshift did, and they went after him. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. Pirate, 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 pirate. you dig it the most, man. I want to make sure you get some goodies when we get down there. The I'm bring limited amount because I, you know, it's like planes. But the story is this exchange guy out of Canada, and he's going to go save some children in India or something, and then he winds up dead. So
Gerald Cotton, he ran the Canadian exchange, Quadriga. And allegedly what happened is he went to India to try to provide some shelter for some homeless children. But he was allegedly suffering from Crohn's disease, and he died in India. They said he died of Crohn's disease. And he was the only person on the exchange who had the keys to access all of the funds. And I believe it was about $137 million worth of cryptocurrency. So what's going on right now is the wife is, I think the court granted her a stay for like a month, 30 days maybe. It might have been a little more, but her goal during the stay, so that she doesn't get sued and their company doesn't get sued, is try to locate the keys or some keys so that she can gain access to the funds that she owes the investors and the clients holding cryptocurrency funds on the exchange. And just a funny tidbit of the story, I was listening to Berwick talk recently on his live Facebook feed. He said he had a little bit of funds on this particular exchange. But yeah, this is a lesson. So you don't, the whole point of crypto.
Well, do they have a dead stinking knight and take a picture, got it, and put it up on a pike body or not?
Yeah, I'm not really, I don't know any of the details of how it worked out. From what I understand, they've only said that he's dead. They haven't given any information about the body, from what I've read, or any of the other information. But what somebody has said is that India is a place that people commonly go to
get
fake
dead.
Their death. That's right. Yeah,
they're right, coming back
here. .lrn.fm.
Yeah.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. 2800 and now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, what we're doing, we're talking with Mr. Lujan, the ambassador of Bitcoin.com. Now, Sterling, you know, what I want to get into is we summarized it real quick in the break, but there's an exchange in Canada, a guy, it's like $130-190 million of whatever the hell, and he's going to help little children in India. He decides he's going to go there, but it's known in that area that you can get a death certificate of, we just decided a couple witnesses and says, you know, so a lot of people, he was having financial problems, and they go not when he's dead and he can't find the keys to access all the goodies, you know, now what? So the people are going, whoa, that didn't work out none too well. Well, don't keep your stuff on exchanges. You know, this is, you need to have your own access to keys. Like, you know, Tim Pachote doing the libertyadvisor.com, all his investment in parts of and metals and traditional and yada, 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 and crypto, to where you don't have to pay capital gains on, you know, however he's structured and, you know, kind of secrets he would reveal down at Narcopoco and TDV. But the thing was, is that it's a non-starter if I don't get to keep my keys. If I'm not controlling my crypto, though, I don't even want to talk about it. Well, he went through it, took an extra year to do it, but that's how he does it. And this is exactly why. How far off am I?
No, yeah, you're exactly right. So the whole purpose behind the cryptocurrency mission is for people to have financial sovereignty. And whenever you keep your keys on an exchange, and I understand there are some reasons to use an exchange. If you're a trader and you want to trade cryptocurrency, decentralized exchanges, the technology is not ready yet, right? It's very difficult to do exchanges in a decentralized fashion where you get to keep your keys. So people are using centralized exchanges because they do automated trading, automated lending, and those kind of things. But whenever you give them your cryptocurrency, they have your keys. And so if something happens to their website, something happens to their founder, if something happens to their servers, someone can just effectively steal your money and it's gone. That's it. Because you're not ultimately in control of those keys. So this is a lesson that's been taught how many times, Ernest? Since day one, Mt. Gox crashed, billions of dollars worth of cryptocurrency just gone, missing out of thin air. Well, not really out of thin air, in somebody's pocket. So you have to try to keep your keys to yourself if you want to know matter-of-factly that you own that cryptocurrency. This is what I recommend using. This is what I use. This is a Ledger Nano S. This is a hardware wallet. if you're not trading, anytime you're not trading or you're not trying to do something on a centralized exchange, I don't really personally do any trading. I do long-term investing if I do invest anyway. So I keep my cryptocurrency on one of these.
You know, I have a Nano S, and during the flipping, man, when it was going, you know, a year and a half ago, it wouldn't give me access to one of my Bitcoin cash transactions. And I had to go on the mnemonic 39-bit, whatever the heck it was, and find it. And it, fortunately, somebody knew that I could do it. And it had some, you know, one little glitchy problem I can't ride. I go, next! You know, you know, so it's the hardware. There are a lot of guys, there are Trezors and Nano S. They're, you know, super happy, and they do. But I, one time, I get one problem, I'm done, because it feeds from a block explorer. It feeds data from somewhere. If there's some little problem in the software or update of what, then when I did it, you know, I haven't touched it for a year. Then when I come back and I wanted to, I still had some other currencies on it and so on. I had to I couldn't access it because I couldn't update it and still have enough memory to update it with a wallets they had on it. So then I had to delete them. Then I had to wipe the whole thing, had to reload it with the new firmware, and then, you know, software, whatever, and then put in my 24 don't make any mistakes, you know, code. And I'm like, you freaking, just give me my paper wallet. You know?
Yeah, you're right. It has not been user friendly. And Ernest, I had to do the exact same thing because I had cryptocurrency on mine. And this was, I guess, a year ago now. And I think it happened a long
time. Not a grandma just button.
No, you're right. It was not any, it wasn't an easy process for me. I remember going through it because I was sweating, right? My wife and I were sitting there because we knew that we had to delete it. And effectively what that means is killing your cryptocurrency stash. And then hoping that you put the 24 digit or the 24 words seed code incorrectly when you wrote it down correctly, because if not, your money's gone. But from what I've heard, and I don't know if I've updated mine since then, but they've fixed it. They've patched it now where the upgrade is built into it. You don't have to go and delete the whole thing.
I got a patch. Yay. What is this, Windows? You know, I understand. I'm just, I don't want people. I see, I'm not willing to make an endorsement of a product like that when I personally have had problems that I was supposed to not have. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's it. It's not that it's not going to be, it's very useful for using it and putting something on, and you still have control of your keys and you can do it, and it gives you a lot of privacy and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. But, and it's convenient. You can carry it with you and you just got to have this code. So it works really well. I know a guy's got their Trezors, you know, on their keychain. Yeah. You know, they 3D printed their.
This is another one. This is a Keep Key. It's decent too. And I think actually Eric's company owns Keep Key now. Shapeshift.
Cool. Cool. You know, so I don't have a problem with these as part of the solution, but man, it's not everything. Because I tell you a use case, this was a good one. We're flying in from South America. I'm, you know, or Central America. We were in Panama coming out, coming to the U.S. We're on a private plane. We land, and I know the customs guy is going to come on the plane. You know, they do customs at these, what they call them, FOBs, private, you know, terminals. So you go in, the guy comes in, he takes your little cards, and I swear under penalty of death that I have no thing in my control of currency over the value of $10,000.
Right.
Well, what if I got, you know, they take my smartphone, we say, we see here, give us the key. You know, you're not getting in the country without your pen. Of guy, so I'm going, oh, yeah? Boom. I delete my Coinami. Just delete the app. It's gone.
Yeah.
Done. It's not there. I don't know what you're talking about. Then I got to put in the seed words. And then does it populate back up? And it's got, you know, however much, you know, the money I'd rather have. Boom! Ha! Your mama. Okay? So this is kind of, but it's still not the same as me having a paper in my safe. Well, then they come take my safe. Yeah. Then I got to have, you know, do I do steel, you know, crypto steel wallets? I do a typeset and make sure I didn't make any mistakes. I mean, you know, you take full responsibility for your own crypto. And that's why I like it. But, man, it's getting a lot more grandma just buttony than it was almost a decade ago. But, you know, damn, you have a little problem. They're looking for customer services somewhere. They ain't one.
Yeah. Oh, and it'll – you're right. It'll continue to get better, though. You're right. It's been rough, especially over the last couple of years. Another thing, though, you were talking about, you know, keeping it hidden, maintaining your privacy. One of the things I think – one of the features KeepKey has is they've got it set up so that you can have a – a secret stash on your stash, right? You can enter like there's a 2-digit number that you keep in your head that you can enter in that allows you to reveal a certain address with cryptocurrency.
Oh, more wallets that aren't normally there. You got to do a code. You know, I heard this. Some people were talking about it's a like a sport icon of an app on your Android or something. And it shows and has current feeds of whatever. And you get in that app, and then you got another code in that app that's hiding another app, you know, right. Kind of stuff. You know, there's always a solution. Damn it, pirates got it going on, man. There's always something else, and our pirate ship... Our pirate ship is equipped with all kinds of kiss my buttisms. You know? Right. Sterling Lujan, Bitcoin.com. Look forward to seeing you down in Acapulco, man. You know, hold on a second. We'll be right back with Mike Wazza.
What do you shop for that you could up?
Yeah, my main thing is all we're on the same page on a lot of this stuff. I just want to, you know, if you do me a favor while you're flying in, you got nothing else to do, you know, read IPFS, how it works and what and kind of whatever thing. Because anyone that you tell, I know you're really good at this. You got somebody and they kind of, you say, hey, what about this Ernie did kind of, and you go, ooh, yeah, you need to talk to, because that's what I'm going to be down there. And you got, you know, 1,500, 3,000 people or whatever. And I'm going to get on the stage and go, hey, all you IPFS guys, come over here. You know, I want to talk to you. So that's pretty much what my main goal is, and it's more than that. It's, you know, we're kind of down the road on this thing. It's really also a lot of these people being of help to other sites, of people starting to run them, of starting to put their content over, because we've made it easy. That's what Derek has done. And he's willing, from the beginning, we're like, when we get this interface done, we'll just put it up on GitHub of whatever and paste, go, you know, knock yourself out, done.
Yeah, I'd like to get that set up on my website,
it's
too, as well.
Done! Yeah. I mean, it's going to take some dunning, but see, the thing is that on Freedom's Phoenix, you probably have it on Bitcoin.com. You got a back-end dashboard, I imagine, when you enter something, right? So for us, ours is, you know, it's not WordPress. Now, we could do this for WordPress and make it, you know, there's a bunch of WordPress guys now, they can do it. But we have our own PHP and C, whatever geek code of something. And because we started in 2005. There was Word what? I mean, they don't know what you're talking about. So we had it all customized. See, we are like our own Facebook. I mean, we got all kinds of crap. So what happens is that form that we put in, one of three categories, we have like a couple hundred categories, and we can do three different categories that will appear in on these different category pages. We have the, you know, the date and the headline and the author and the link and the graphic and all that kind of crap. That format we could put also in there to where they can use that as the metadata for IPFS sites to be searched and indexed. So we're going, look, they're just a bunch of hashes. How do you search hashes? Well, the metadata you do and you put it in, we got that set up. Boom! We got search. Then the next thing is they're coming after, when you do IPFS, we have, you know, freedomsphoenix.com that gives us, you know, access to, you know, put that DNS it pulls from to go blah, blah, blah. What happens when the man starts DNS and ICANN if you're not allowed to have that number in that webpage because we don't like you? That's the next thing that they're going to be doing. Yeah. So now we're going, nope, we're promoting this over here. We got a hash address of three or four of them that you can always get access to the data. And we got those numbers in IPFS, and we don't even need the DNS number. Suck it. So don't think I don't get it, man. This is because that's one thing that Cantrell is doing with Vector, is they're putting up CubeSats, and we got our own satellite-based. So I'm telling you, man, we go to Acapulco, we all the solution, all everybody's whining and bitching about all this deplatform, and I'm going, we knew it was coming, so we got a two-year head start on you. You know, let's do it.
Yep.
All right, you feel me?
Yeah, I feel you. I'm going to dig deep into it myself. I'm glad you brought that to my attention the way.
No, this is it. This is freaking it. With Corbett and us and Luke and Richard and kind of, man, the demo of here we freaking go. What the hell did you think was going to happen? So this is, so you help me with that, you know, just get me some of the guide and kind of pimp this right, because it's done. You know, it's just, you know, like, you know, just dressing. All right, I got to get my next guest. Peace, brother. I look forward to seeing you.
Hey, Ernest, a lot of fun, brother. See you.
Bye.